The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy April Fool's Day. No prankery, trickery nonsense. We got too much going on. I wish it were an April Fool's joke that the government of our country decided to sully Eastern Sunday by making it, what did they turn Easter into? The National Trans Day of Visibility. Are you kidding me? I wish that it was an April Fool prank, that anti-Semitism is rampant in our universities and even in the halls of government. I there are a whole lot of things that I wish were April Fool's jokes, but they're not. They're real. And we're going to talk about a lot of things that are real, but some of them are very good. Some of them are very real and very promising. Change is in the wind in Texas politics, and there are two kinds of people, those who can handle it and those who can't. And those who can't are in full-throated meltdown in some corners. And so back in action. I'm Mark Davis. Thanks. Had a wonderful week off. We left the country. I'm not going to beat you down with travel stories this segment. We'll make that next segment, and I'll save some of it for Mike, because we are listen, nobody travels like Mike, and nobody talks about travel with the prolific and consummate skill of Mike. I want to bounce some things off of him. I will share with you where Lisa and I went coming out of this first break. There is a very famous song where the country we visited is the very first word of the song. So get ready. And in the meantime, get ready for stuff that happened while I was away. And speaking of while I was away, thank you so very, very much to Chad Hasty, the king of Lubbock radio, and to the sage of East Texas, our buddy Paul Gleiser. I know you were in great hands. And thanks, of course, as always, to Rhonda and to Matt for handling all that, for Nikki for doing the newscast. And we are all back in action as we begin the month of April. Phone number is 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Anything you would have wanted to run by me last week, you are in the most able of hands. But I always feel like that whenever we come back, I got to kind of touch the bases a little bit. Baseball reference, Rangers are 2-1. Nice weekend against the Cubbies. And I also, saw the unfurling, the partial unfurling of the World Series championship banner. Oh, man. The season ended in a perfect way. The unfurling of the banner, not so much. It's just this big wrinkle that just came down the entire left side of the banner. I know that's not an omen for things to come, but the Rangers look good moving in. We got back late Thursday, so I had a nice three-day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mostly to watch basketball. And I got to tell you, as a Maryland alumnus, please don't refer to yourself as an alumni. Alumni is plural. He's an alumni of Texas. No, he is an alumnus of Texas. You guys are alumni. If you're a woman, I know this gets crazy. It gets Latin. Nobody uses these words. A woman is an alumna, which just sounds like you're tripping over your own tongue. But a man is an alumnus, a woman is an alumna, a group of women are alumnae, and alumni is plural of mixed sex. Speaking of mixed sex, on that Transgender Day of Visibility, that wasn't the only attack. I'll get back to my alumni point in a minute. Wasn't the only attack on Easter. There were a lot of op-eds written by like the religious left, which sounds like a contradiction in terms. But they're liberals in church. It's just, what do they do with it? And And in this particular case, I read more than a couple of op-ed pieces. I think one of them was like from a supposed, you know, member of the clergy who said, oh, we got this Easter message all wrong. You know, we got the, everybody, people are like conservatives are messing up Easter. It's like, excuse me, what are we doing? And the perception was that people of deep faith were using the redemption and renewal of Easter as like Teflon, as like advance cover for like bad things we want to do. It was like, we can be racist as all get out, but hey, it's okay because Easter. Like, what? And there was one op-ed that ventured into some rambling about George Floyd and how crucifixion is really you die by suffocation, kind of like having a cop's knee on your neck. It's like, what? And like, it was essentially that what Easter needed to be is not a, you know, a cover or Teflon for bad things you do, but a call to action. And by the way, there's nothing non-praiseworthy in a call to action to be a better person and to improve yourself. Of course, that's what it's about. But Easter is completely about redemption from sin. It is completely about God sending his son, John 3:16. So that he could be sacrificed and our sins could be forgiven. And it does mean that no matter what we do, no matter what we do, eternal life is available to us if we repent, if we are sincere. So sincerity is a huge, huge part of that. So there's just, I don't know, just this is why we can't have nice things. And Easter, of course, is the nicest thing of all. And, of course, we can all have it. And I hope your Easter was fantastic. Listen, while I'm on this theme, for the first time in a week and a fraction, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms that come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Boy, are they. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So as an alumnus of the University of Maryland, that was some big ACC basketball doings in the late 70s when I was there. The recently passed Lefty Drizel was our coach. The incomparable Dean Smith was at North Carolina. It was very weird. Guys named Bill Foster, two different guys, were the coach of both Duke and Clemson. And Norm Sloan was at North Carolina State. It was Tobacco Road, ACC basketball. It was just the best. So I spent my entire, you know, college life rooting against teams like the Wolfpack of North Carolina State. Now, can't love them more. How do you not love DJ Burns and the North Carolina State Wolfpack dispatching Duke? What a year that they beat North Carolina in the ACC tournament. And then get rid of, because North Carolina and Duke, I mean, they're like the king daddies of the ACC. And there's the Wolfpack. And so they will take on Purdue. And who outside of Indiana cares about that? And then you have Connecticut and Alabama. And who outside of Connecticut cares about Connecticut? And Alabama has a certain national constituency, but I think that's kind of football related. And it's their first Final Four, so good for them. But I am all in for that North Carolina State Wolfpack in a regional, in a fight that happened 15 minutes from here. Was it the AAC? The entire regional was in Dallas. And NC State, I believe, now is America's team in the Final Four. DJ Burns is America's player. And dude is 6'9", 275. Doesn't exactly have the svelte, sleek look of a basketball force, but he is. He absolutely is. And the smile to light up an arena. And he was, it was great. enormous fun to see. So go Wolfpack, as far as I'm concerned, in the Final Four. So stuff of last week. In the middle of the week came the announcements about the resolutions in the Ken Paxton matters. There, and I could just feel, even from a little over 1,000 miles away, ish, I could feel the disillusionment, the crestfallen heartbreak of Ken Paxton's pursuers and tormentors. I wonder what kind of a week it was for John Cornyn. And you know, I've been I've had a great relationship with Senator Cornyn forever, and I hope to continue to, and I'm sure I will. He's done far more good than bad, and I know many of y'all are just driven crazy that he's not Ted Cruz and he's not Rand Paul, and that's true. But he keeps winning and winning and winning and winning. 2026 in a primary against Ken Paxton? I don't know. Senator Cornyn fancies himself as Mitch McConnell's successor, and that may happen. Does that help him in his reelection bid? Maybe. Don't know. But it was just so unseemly and weird as Paxton has the attorney general is just focusing his, laser beam of attention on all kinds of areas of government in Texas, local, state, and national, judicial and legislative and executive that just don't seem to be conservative enough. And he's garnering a lot of support for doing so. And when Cornyn announced that he wanted to be Senate Republican leader, Paxton said, what we need is real Texas needs another conservative senator. And one wonders who he might have been thinking about, perhaps himself. And there was a lot of speculation then about a Paxton and Cornyn 2026 Republican primary for the U.S. Senate. And John Cornyn, who say what you will about him, one of the things that he's had going on that have accrued to his reputational benefit is just kind of an unflappable demeanor, sort of an above it all, gentlemanly, mannerly, just one of those folks. And at one point, Paxton had referred to Cornyn in 26 and another conservative senator. And Cornyn replied, "Hard to run from prison, Ken." What? And that takes you to State Rep Justin Holland, who may not be long for this world, as Katrina Pearson prepares to beat him on runoff day on May 20. May 28th. God, I got to wait forever for these stupid runoffs. Don't know why it's that long. Couldn't we have done this now? I mean, I don't know. The primary was March 5th. Why do we have to wait forever? Anyway, though, this was the guy who was on one of the weekend local politics TV shows saying that Ken Paxton was a flight risk, that as his trials approached, that he would pack his stuff and perhaps visit the island nation that I just came back from. I mean, it was crazy. Paxton hatred is like Trump hatred. It bends the brain. It just turns you into something different, and it was crazy. So as the Paxton matters were resolved, and the resolution, it is not a plea bargain. There is no plea. There is no admission of guilt. Why did the prosecutors agree to this? And what it wound up being is 100 hours of community service, right? 15 hours of legal ethics training. I'd love to be in the room for that. And $270,000 in restitution for the perceived victims. Okay. So that brings two questions to mind. You might have been thinking, why would Paxton agree to this if he was so convinced that he's not guilty? And why would the prosecutors agree to this if they were so convinced that they could have earned a conviction? Always understand the following about a settlement of this type. Anytime there is a settlement, anytime, in a civil matter where I'm suing you for something and there's X amount, anytime people engage in a settlement, they have one thing in common. They think that the settlement is better than what otherwise might happen, right? So in Paxton's case, in unbelievably hostile Harris County, hours from where he lives. It's like Trump in all of these enemy territory courtrooms of his. Can you get a fair trial? I don't know. So is it better for Paxton to, sign up for some community service and legal ethics training and, that's a good chunk of change in restitution. But is that better than, going to jail at the hands of a Paxton hating jury in Houston? You bet it is. Of course it makes sense. So why does it make sense for the prosecution end of this to do this? Because they knew their case was weak. They knew there was a substantial likelihood of failing, and they wanted to at least get him with something to say that we got something. We exacted some pound of flesh from the despised Ken Paxton. So Paxton is AG. And let me take our first pause because one of the great, speaking of the weekend TV shows on Lone Star Politics on Channel 5, Phil Prazan had a gentleman who was a Paxton attorney, Mitch Little, who beat Kronda Timmish in House District 65 up in Denton County. Kronda's not taking it well. She wrote a thing. I don't know. He said, here's an op-ed that I've submitted to the morning news. I don't know if it's run, but she posted the whole thing on her Twitter feed. And bless her heart. She's a neat lady, a woman of accomplishment. She did good things, but she lost for two reasons. Same reason some of these other people lost. Paxton impeachment. Folks didn't like that. And fealty to Dade Phelan. Folks don't like that. Don't like the Democrat chairs. Didn't like the impeachment. They like school choice, don't like people who obstruct it. So Kronda had this crazy sour grapes complaint fest. And you're going to be hearing a lot of this. You're going to be hearing a lot. And what an insult to voters it is. What an incredible insult to the voters to say that if Mitch Little, who is going to be one of the most important members of the new legislature, he just is. He's that good and that smart and that clear. As I said, there are two kinds of people right now, those who understand the way the winds are blowing in Texas politics and those who don't. And it's going to be messy and unpleasant and tough for those who don't. So I'd advise all y'all to get a clue and realize who's running the show moving on. This is the party of the grassroots now. We're becoming a real red state. This jacking around with Democrat chairs in key committee. Just no. That stuff is over. But they're going to say that you were too stupid, that evil billionaires ran nasty ads. I don't want to hear one of these folks who lost complaining about ads. I mean, how many times did Jill Dutton call Brent Money a neo-Nazi? Spare me the violin strings about how people lied about you folks, you establishment-friendly, feeling-loving Paxton impeachment monkeys. Spare me your sad song. Anyway, great to be back. 7:24. Well, have I got a place to tell you about Aruba? The first word of one of the most reviled Beach Boys records ever, and I don't get it. I think it's a great song. There's no such place as Kokomo. Well, there is in Indiana, but that's not the one they're talking about. But all the other places, Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. So I went to Lisa and I said, ooh, I want to take you to actual Aruba. We had heard wonderful things about it. And they are true. It is the Caribbean is a broadly similar environment, based on wherever you go. And there are little differences. But listen, let me get out of this, get into the news, come back, say hi to Mike. We got stuff to talk about. I have things that happened to us that I want to run by my travel guru, Mike Gallagher, and a number of other things. But if you're looking at the Caribbean and you've done your Bahamas and done your St. Thomas and you've done this and done that, and you're looking for something that's different, oh my, is this different. In some ways, it's like being on another planet. They're like rock formations. It's not some wet rains all the time and there's almost never any hurricanes, which is awesome. Plan a vacation to the Bahamas and whoops, hurricane destroys everything. Nope. Aruba is outside the hurricane zone, but there are rock formations and there are waves crashing against the rocks on one side. But on the other side, it's just placid and white sugary sand. It was absolutely wonderful. So big thumbs up for the Dutch island nation of Aruba. First of all, everybody speaks English, and one of the reasons why is everybody's American. Like 85% of the visitors are American, and usually when I leave the country, I like to leave the country. If I went across other Americans, I'll go to, you know, Phoenix. But it was lovely. It was great. Unbelievably safe. No beheadings or abductions or anything like that. So Aruba, big thumbs up. 731 News, always a big thumbs up. Here's Nikki Whaley. Fool in the Rain. Little Zeppelin. On the fool theme. Well, you'd have to be a fool to miss the M&M segment. And people have missed it, Mike. Oh, how people have missed it. They've told me, I know they've told you.
And I'm on vacation next week.
That's
you
right.
Know, but that's terrible. We got to coordinate our vacations better. So
oh,
that
Lord.
We both take the same time off. I got an email last night from some guy in Flower Mound. Mm-hmm. He said, my day is destroyed if I don't have the M&M experience.
Golly.
I wanted to say, kindly, you might want to expand your horizons.
Just to check your priorities.
Do bird watching.
Hang out with your
stamp
family.
Collecting.
Do something.
Yeah, do something.
No. That's
but
the sweetest thing
what
in the
nice
world. It's great.
Oh, it was. People are so wonderful about it. And they truly enjoy it. And I do, too. And I missed the heck out of you.
Missed you.
Crazy running around and Phoenix and, you know,
I know you were in Sacramento, and this was these were events. They were things that you did on stage with various, I mean, what, just the...
Yeah, Brandon Tatum. It was actually the Brandon Tatum-Mike Gallagher show.
Excellent.
And,
Officer Tatum, we love him.
Officer, oh, and he's wonderful.
Isn't he the best?
Gosh,
just the
best. He's just a real neat, spiritual guy. You know, you see this big, hulking, you know, he's a former NFL player. You know, mm-hmm. he's a Tucson cop. And he's this, and he. What comes out of his mouth is prayer and the Bible and God and faith. He's just a neat guy, very unassuming, and yet he's got about a billion YouTube followers.
Yep.
I mean, he's got such a space on social media and YouTube. So we had a great time.
Rightfully
anyhow,
so.
And I've never been to Sacramento. I kept thinking of the late, great Rush Limbaugh because that's where he cut his teeth.
KFBK. Absolutely.
Yep. I wanted to go to Rio Linda to find out if people
exactly
there are stupid as he said they were.
Exactly the suburb that he picked on. He had to pick someplace.
I always picked on Rio Linda.
And you know what? And the dirty little secret is they loved it. They took it with a grain of salt, a sense of humor. Now, for those that don't know, I mean, I just piddled off to a little Caribbean island, but you are headed to the literal other side of the world. You are going to Japan, and I am in advance fascinated. I love the country, love the culture, love the concept. Never been. I want to at some point. So I want to see what your experience is like. So, and is it just because you said you went there before and just said you wanted to go back
many years
for more
ago? And I've always wanted to go back. I remember Tokyo and seeing temples and the beauty of Japan. I mean, it's clean. It's very modern, of course. So I'm just going to do a bunch of sightseeing, and don't kill me. Haters going to hate. I'm going to sneak over to Disneyland of Tokyo Tokyo of Disneyland for a day.
That's what?
Disney in Tokyo. Yeah, what
the dude, you can
cool
go to. You live an hour from Disney here. Why? What is so?
But it's Tokyo. I want to see the cult the way they.
Well, they have Applebee's too. Are you going there?
Well, no.
I mean, I know that's. I'm sure there's something uniquely different. By the way, you've touched on something that makes me insane. When people go to other countries and go to TGI Fridays.
Oh, no, I won't do that.
And by the way, nothing against any of these franchises I may name. But if you go to another country, be in another country. Go do
it. The only problem is I ain't real good with chopsticks.
What?
So I'm going to be that ugly American who says, can I please have a fork? And then they're going to spit in my food.
Jerry Seinfeld. The thing is that, you know, I don't understand about the chopsticks. That they invented the fork. Everybody knows they invented the fork at some point. Isn't it like trying to plow a field with two pool cues? Anyway, it was on.
All right.
Can I share real quick?
Yeah.
But you're my travel guru. Very, very quickly. I've told everybody it's a beautiful Caribbean island. Everybody should go. Not going to bore anybody with that. But I have specific travel related things. As you come, have you been to the Caribbean? You've done Caribbean, right? Done various
sure
Caribbean things?
You bet.
You know what? Aruba is the only place that there's something happens. Is where American customs is at the outbound end. You meet your American, because first of all, when you come back from Japan, whenever I'm fortunate enough to leave the country, and you come back to DFW, you come through American Customs, and they stamp your passport, and they say, welcome home. It's one of the sweetest, most wonderful, it's one of the most inspiring things. That will never happen when you go to Aruba, because the American Customs is at that end. You go through American Customs in the Aruba airport. Now, the cool thing is, because our plane landed like midnight, so I was ready, just ready to get out of there, is there's no American Customs at DFW because you did it already in Aruba. And as we're going through there, there's American CBP folks stamping the passports. And I said, look, I just got to know, number one, this is a little strange, it's kind of cool, but is this like a really good gig? Is this like, and he said, absolutely, it's my second tour.
Yeah, so well, guess what? But see, here's what's fascinating, what you don't know, apparently, and I'm just learning it. Yeah. There's no more stamping the passports.
Oh, no. You know what? I'm very 1995. You're exactly
you're right.
Because, I looked into a screen, and everything was cool.
Stunned. When I got back from Israel, of all places, you look into a screen, there's nobody even there.
Yep.
They don't even, now there's a kiosk, and it's that, I don't know, has something to do with the global entry we've got?
No. Do you have global entry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got to do that because it speeds the whole process. But no, right, I had that too.
But if you did it too, I don't know. I mean, it's all changing now. I mean, the whole world is changing.
But I miss it. I miss this. You open up your passport, it's got all the stamps. I mean, I got stamps of, 27 countries. To not have that anymore is
don't worry about that.
I know.
Here's the only other thing.
The only other thing.
Come on.
Miami Airport. We had a direct flight there. Coming back, had to stop in Miami. Hour and a half layover in Miami, no problem. I had to get from Terminal D to Terminal E, which is only about 12 miles. So we're walking along, and I saw something for the very, 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 very first time. We're walking along, and it was semi crowded, not too crowded. And I hear this little chime. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. I say, what in the heck is that? That was the wheelchair. That was the self-driving, all by itself, automated driving itself wheelchair, working its way down the concourse level, and it with a big sign on it that said reserved, so that nobody would plunk their fat butt in it and go, yeah, I'm riding now. It was apparently on its way to some gate or something. Your wheelchair needs at the Miami airport. They just program it in. The wheelchair comes to you all by itself.
All right, so why do you do this? We got Biden is collapsing, and we got travel stuff to talk about.
Now I'm done.
But when I was in Phoenix, I kept seeing cars all over the road without a driver.
Nope, out.
It's all over Phoenix, and I'm kicking myself.
People are going to die.
That I didn't book that. No, but it's all over the. Listen, they swear by it there. They say they're working. It's working like a charm.
Mm-hmm.
They're testing it in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Waymo. Mm-hmm. They are these white cars with this giant, circular dish on top of the roof. There's nobody driving.
Well, they're going to be Waymo dead bodies after this. The technology goes crazy and turns on us.
I don't know. It is terrible. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine it. I can't wrap my brain around it. And I'm so mad that when I was there, I ran out of time because I wanted to take a ride.
You knocked yourself out. Tell me how that goes. I'll never get one of those damn things. Sorry.
But they're doing it. They're doing it all over Phoenix. They're doing it all over San Francisco. And soon to be Dallas-Fort Worth. I was reading about it over the weekend. They're going to do it there.
Out.
I can't imagine.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. So first of all, let's look at the horrible, horrible, horrible week for Joe Biden. And I kept thinking of you this weekend because you always say, hey, people have short memories. It's April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
April is not January.
That's correct.
April's not 2023. We are months away. You think people are going to forget the way Biden reacted to Easter? Do you think they're going to forget about what he did with the cop's funeral in New York?
I know.
I mean, these are and you know what's crazy? It feels like they're doing this deliberately. I mean, it's not an accident. You go waltzing off to New York City and have a $500,000 a person caviar, champagne, Radio City musical extravaganza while a cop is being laid to rest on Long Island and Trump is at the funeral of the officer.
Yeah.
And Biden couldn't even mention his name.
Yeah.
Mark. And Easter and no religious symbols allowed at the White House and the Day of Visibility thing. And of course, that became this gigantic Armageddon-like explosion on social media over the weekend. Now, I'm going to get people annoyed with me a little bit. This trans day of visibility has taken, it's been March 31st for 15 years. So in a way, the controversy was, I won't say manufactured, but the truth of the matter is, what you could really find fault with, I think, is Biden making a proclamation, maybe. Maybe he doesn't do the proclamation. But here's the thing, Mark. The rage is real. The anger is real. You can sit around and scold people and say you shouldn't be angry about things like this.
Yeah.
Guess what? People are angry, Mark. And that they anger, does that, is that sustainable so, through November 5th?
You know, the first of all, I think some of it is. How much, I don't know. And here's the other thing I don't know. You know the Mark Davis definition of political damage. The definition of political damage, real political damage, is when people who love you don't love you anymore. The emails never hurt Hillary that much. Benghazi never hurt Hillary that much. Conservatives are the only people who cared about it. There are tons of things that don't hurt Trump, because the only people who care about any one of a million things about Trump or people who hate his guts already. So what is going to happen for these things that you've properly chronicled to be really damaging to Biden? It's got to take people who were thinking of voting for him. And I guess it's sort of the mushy middle. Dyed-in-the-wool Democrats don't care about this stuff. They love the trans day of visibility. They want that to be every day. But if people who are sort of independents or swing voters, whatever you want to call them, if they were thinking about Biden and now they are no longer, that's real political damage. And I
don't, you think that's happening?
I totally do.
I do, too.
I do. But how much? I don't know. And
now, Ro Khanna over the weekend said when the Israel war is over, Biden's approval numbers will start shooting up. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that people are angry. A swath of Americans are upset with his support of Israel. But if that's the case, we got a bigger problem on our hands. Yeah. Then we got a nation full of bigots and anti-Semites.
Got that right. Did you see what happened to St. Patrick's at the Easter Mass at St. Patrick's as Hamas-loving, mouthy protesters stormed? Oh. Can you imagine if Christians did that at a mosque? They'd be under the jail.
They'd never see the light of day. Yeah, and I wonder if these people will ever be arrested. Meanwhile, the border policies, we saw the El Paso thing before you and I would. You saw it probably while you were gone. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of illegals overpowering the Texas National Guard. You know what they did to those folks? They apprehended every one of them. So that's the good news.
Oh, yeah.
Bad news is they let every one of them go into the United States.
Of course they did.
Mark.
Yeah, that is the policy.
Mark, I think people are at a breaking point. And as somebody just texted from Oklahoma, we can only be terrorized and gaslighted for so long. Eventually, we're going to stand up.
Yep.
And I really do think that we're getting, if we're not at that point right now, I can't believe how bad this has been.
Me too, but I have a Mike Gallagher kind of feeling. I'm almost afraid to embrace how dreadful it was for Biden, seemingly, because it puts me in a mindset where I begin to think I'll never believe that winning is a sure thing, and I'll never believe that the landslide is guaranteed or anything like that. But I don't want to get too comfortable. I want to keep that fighting spirit. I want to be like, you know, like the NC State Wolfpack and play like you're 10 points down at all times.
Let your foot up off the gas.
Yep,
Let your foot off the gas. Now's the time. We better be fighting. We have a responsibility, Mark, you and me, and the jobs we have.
Yep.
We got to make sure we're illuminating truth. We got to spotlight what's really going on. I mean, look at what they're upset with Trump about. He reposted some video of cars in a caravan in Long Island on the day of the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cars had some stupid bumper sticker of Biden, you know, bound up and like he was in the back of a car or something.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. But you had to look for it with a microscope or a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
That wasn't what Trump was posting. They're looking at all the vehicles with Trump flags on it.
Yeah.
But, oh, look, and Michael Steele called Trump vermin, and this never Trump stuff, it gets into their souls.
You talk about the things that we need to do, because we got to figure out how to lovingly, or perhaps not so lovingly, tough love might be the term, deal with the people in our own party, on our own side, or are they, who need to be brought around to the reality that they are indeed Biden voters. If they cannot get behind Trump, it is binary now.
It's binary. You have a choice to make. And at this point, there's no. And let's end on this with the return of Eminem and some love. I went to Israel a few weeks ago, and I made a commitment to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews that I wanted to support them. And I wanted our audience to support them and send armored ambulances and bomb shelters. And I said, they came up with a number. We all came up with a number of $130,000 raised. I said, there's no way. There's just no way. I can't. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's a big number. In March, yeah. $130,000.
Yes.
I mean, I know my audience is generous, but how generous can one audience be?
Well.
You want to know the final number?
I would.
$172,000. Mark, we went 42,000
so
over
awesome.
The goal. I am walking. I'm bouncing off the walls.
So
we're sending
great.
Bomb shelters. We have those sponsored, a number of those. So thank you to everybody from DFW and beyond who contributed to our campaign for the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. $172,000 raised in a few short weeks.
It's what you
God
do.
Is good.
God
but
is
that's
good.
What this, and God and this audience.
Audience
God
is great.
Good and this audience
and
is great.
Great.
And I like our chances.
I do like our chances.
Welcome back. I'm so glad to get back. Everybody back in the routine for the MNN
Experience. For at least
Happy
a week
Monday.
Before you go flitting off to the land of the rising sun. Okay.
Any April Fool's jokes planned for anybody?
I started the show saying, first of all, I hate that stuff, generally speaking. But I wish it were an April. I wish a lot of the things in the news were April Fool's pranks, but they are real.
Sure feels
they
like
they require
it.
Our attention. So,
sure
man,
feels like
we're
it.
Ready
all
for
right.
the Mike
Happy
Gallagher Show. We always
Glad
are. Mike's back. Ready to crank it out. 10 o'clock, soon as we're done on 660 AM, The Answer.
I'm a fool to want you.
I had to cue Old Blue Eyes twice.
I'm a fool to want
1951 you. Sinatra, I'm a fool to want you.
You want a love that can't be true.
Little Blue Eyes take us out and into the 8 o'clock hour. Where I'll get into some more detail on things that are in the news this week, stuff we missed last week. Well, you didn't miss them because Paul Gleiser and Chad Hastie were here. I missed the opportunity to run some things by you. Also coming up 8:35, Dr. Tom Oliverson of Northwest of Houston fame down there in that state rep district around Cypress. He wants to be the next Speaker of the House, no matter what happens to Dade Phelan. We'll talk to him at 8:35 and talk to you next. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Happy Monday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.